Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Yeah, wonderful. I'm glad we're playing highlights from a Chad Ryland missed field goal for New England to lose to the Giants in a must-lose game. Wait, so the Pats, based on our analysis, won, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you bumped up to 15% to get the number one pick. Mm. Isn't that what you wanted?
No, I was rooting for them to win. I got to be honest with you. I was. Unlike Nuno and our producer and Canty, who openly rooting
so
against
you're
the
rooting,
Giants.
But hold on. You're saying you're rooting for them to win. Like, my question to you would be, win what? What are you winning by beating the Giants, who were 3-8 going into yesterday's game? What are you winning?
Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, that's my point. Why are you rooting for them to win?
Because it's impossible for me as a fan, front runner, it's impossible for me as a fan to sit there and watch a game and hope my team screws up on purpose, which they screw up anyway. But I'm sorry, like, it's hard for me to do that. I don't have the opportunity to do that. Or I have the opportunity to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. And I understand that I probably should, and what the end result yesterday is good long term, but I can't do that. Like, I don't know. I'm like looking around the league right now. So teams that we would look at and say they're out of it, right? So the Titans fan has a bad day yesterday because they won, I guess. The Bucs fan, I guess, is saying, hey, we had a good day. We were competitive but lost, closer to a younger quarterback. Cincinnati fans, you want them to now root against their team, I guess, because they don't have Joe Burrow. They're not going to the playoffs. They're better off higher up in the draft. The Cardinals fans we know are rooting against them already. Right? I mean, Vegas
fans, I think
fans,
they were rooting against them before the season
exactly, started. Exactly. Like, hey, this Dobbs guy was too good. Get him to Minnesota. I mean, Raiders fans, they're reportedly going to release their cornerback Marcus Peters today because he got benched yesterday and there's already stuff with him. Like, they're 5-7. The Antonio Pierce stuff has been great.
They're trying to win games, though. Right. The Raiders are trying to win games.
They want to keep him around.
So they shouldn't do that. And, like, you know, the teams around the Bears fans are definitely going to root against their team tonight in Monday Night Football on ESPN against the Vikings.
I don't think they have to root hard. They're probably going to lose that game.
Well, that's the thing. It's hard to do that. I understand you're right about everything you're saying. It is much better for any of these teams to get that don't have quarterbacks to get closer to Drake May, North Carolina, Caleb Williams, USC, right, than to have whatever they have now, than to win 6 or 7 games. You're right about that. It's just hard in the moment to actually do that. Patriots fans, of course, are not used to that. Their head coach, Bill Belichick, was on the Greg Hill Show today on WEEI in Boston and was asked on whether or not he was 100% behind the decision to draft Mac Jones.
A few weeks ago that, you know, being a head coach and essentially handling everything personnel-wise, that's a couple jobs. When it comes to Mac Jones and that pick, were you 100% sold on that, or was that something that Robert Kraft pushed you toward?
Yeah, well, organizationally, we thought it was the right thing to do.
Okay, all right, there's part one. Part two, and the report out there that he has already found his next destination past New England.
Bill, there have been a lot of headlines surrounding your future with the organization, and even some national media members, Dan Orlovsky being one of them, saying that you already have another destination set in place for next season. Do you have any comments on that? I'm sure it's annoying to hear your name in headlines when it comes to you specific while you're focused on this team.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Can you ever imagine yourself coaching anywhere else?
I'm just trying to do the best job I can right now. Obviously need to do better.
You know what's amazing about this? This is the first time he's had this question in 25 years. Think about all of the questions we all ask players and coaches, and how CC, you probably were asked the same question 100 times a day, basically.
Oh, yeah.
That man, I don't believe, has ever been asked that question while he was employed by the New England Patriots.
He never had to be asked that question.
They went to 9 Super Bowls, and he's won 6 of them. Of course he's not going to ask that question. He just clinched his fourth losing season in a quarter century of coaching the team. Like, that's a whole lot of winning they've been doing, dog. So, yeah, he's not going to be asked the question about job security, but the fact that they've had losing records three of the last 4 years, the fact that it has been 5 years since they've won a playoff game, and the fact that he is the second oldest coach in the National Football League, if you're going to do a hard reset and you're going to go about the process of a multi-year rebuild, you have to wonder whether or not Bill Belichick is going to be long for that kind of task. And I don't think he is, which is why Robert Kraft is probably going to move on.
Yeah, I know this is a tough place for you to be at, Evan, but I do think it's the end of the road. And
although we've come yes. to the end of the road,
sing it.
Still my boy can't let go.
That's true. Yes.
It's unnatural.
It's done.
Bill belongs to E.
He does.
E belongs to Bill.
Girl, oh. I want to tell you, Bill, I've been here with you for a long time. I know what you've done for us. Me, the front runner that joins
to
after they start winning.
To the end.
Yeah.
And I know how much you mean to this organization. Mm-hmm. And other people wouldn't give you another shot. But I will. This isn't the end of the road.
It's the end of the road.
It is.
It's over, Ev. It's over. You can let it go. It's over.
It's over. It's
okay for it to be over. Good things come to an end. It's okay for it to be over. The Patriots are better off moving away from Bill Belichick. Not to say that Belichick still can't coach. Not to say that Belichick still doesn't know pro talent. But it's just not working. The message is falling on deaf ears. And it shows in the fact that this team is so non-competitive. They've only got one game this year. Think about this. One game this year where the Patriots haven't turned the ball over. Think about that.
Who's their quarterback? Josh Allen or something?
It's only one game where they haven't had a turnover. It's an embarrassment, and it's a brand of football that you don't even recognize, which is why you can't have any confidence that things are going to get better into the future. But this recent trend, the trajectory of the program, is not in the right direction. And if you take Robert Kraft at his word, everything he said leading up to this season, it became clear and obvious – he's not inclined to let Bill Belichick chase after the individual accolades and Don Shula's all-time wins record. They needed to do winning. They needed to get into the playoffs. Not my words, the owner's words. And the fact that they've fallen so far short of that marker is why I gotta believe that there will be a quote-unquote mutual parting of ways this offseason. I don't think he'll get fired. I don't think he'll be traded. They'll walk away from each other. Belichick will be free to sign as a head coach with another team if he so chooses, but he's not going to be wearing a headset on the sideline for the Patriots in 2024.
And I wonder if he's going to be wearing the headset elsewhere. We've heard these reports that perhaps he knows his future post-New England. He said, what did he say? Wow, that's ridiculous. It was like three words, basically, was his response disputing that. But I imagine if Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots don't want to allow him to chase those individual accolades, that there will be a franchise in the NFL that will allow him to do that. I don't really understand why, because I don't really see any component right now in the New England Patriots that I would feel confident in giving Bill Belichick the reins over at this stage in his career, knowing that it might be a rebuild or it might be a situation where he wants more power than I'm willing to give him because of his resume. But guys, I have to think that somebody's going to employ him if he want to go after the record, which he's so close. I can't see him walking away.
So I am unbelievably supportive of Belichick. I think he's the greatest football coach ever. Tom Brady and I both agree on that. I will tell you one thing that I have to be fair and have to be critical of, and I want to go back to maybe one of the greatest offensive game plans I've ever seen, and it was on December 6th of, I believe, 2021. The New England Patriots played the Buffalo Bills on ESPN on Monday Night Football. The New England Patriots ran the ball 46 times in that game. They had 49 total offensive plays. Mac Jones threw the ball three times. I am dead serious when I'm saying this. I actually think at this point it is inexcusable for the New England Patriots in an NFL football game to throw the ball. I do not think they should ever throw the ball. They do not have a quarterback that is competent to throw the football. They have two, not good running backs, great running backs. Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott are both great football players. Where I'm going to be critical of the Patriots, and Belichick specifically, if you're actually trying to win football games, throwing the ball is not justifiable at all. I'm serious. Zero pass attempts is what I would do against the LA Chargers this week. I would not allow my quarterback to throw the football because they don't complete passes anyway, and when they do, they're to the other team. They are incompetent as pass catchers and as pass throwers. Put three tight ends in there. Put both running backs in. Zero pass attempts this week. I am dead serious. CC's laughing. I get it. It's 2023 in the NFL. I'm being serious. I want zero pass attempts for the New England Patriots this week.
Wow. I mean,
am I wrong?
Sure, you're not wrong.
They're not going to win anyway. What's the difference?
Listen, Mac Jones is awful, and right? Zappy Hour is no better. So, no, you're not wrong. But, I mean, I don't think you can win games under normal conditions if your quarterback doesn't throw the football. Like, the reason why you got away with only throwing the ball three times against the Buffalo Bills was because it was a freaking windstorm up there. That's the only reason why. They couldn't throw the ball either. But in today's NFL, if the other team can throw the ball and you can't, you're at a huge competitive disadvantage. So, I mean, you're going to throw the ball. It's just unfortunate that the quarterbacks that you have on your team are going to throw the ball to the other team pretty regularly. So, it's over for the Patriots. I don't think there's any way of salvaging this season, any way of them being competitive down the stretch. I don't think they're going to win another game. That's how bad the Pats are. I don't think they're going to win another game. Their best chance is week 18 against the Jets. And I would say this, I'll take the Jets quarterbacks over what the Patriots are bringing to the party. Now, the sad part about it is the guy that's playing quarterback for you was the handpicked successor for Tom Brady once Belichick ran TB12 out of town. Like, that's the dude. You ran Tom Brady out of town. You had a gap year with Cam Newton where you went 7-9, and you couldn't wait to draft a quarterback, and you drafted Mac Jones. And not even three full seasons into it, we already know that Mac Jones ain't going to be the future. Hell, he ain't even going to be the quarterback next year. Like, that's the state of affairs with Bill Belichick's program, which is why you need to scrap it and go in a completely new direction. Go scorched earth, burn it all to the – well, not even burn it all to the ground because it's already burning to the ground. Just let it continue to burn to the ground. Move on from him. Start fresh this coming offseason.
I wish the trade deadline hadn't passed so we could just fast forward for the Mac Jones to San Francisco for a seventh-round pick in 2026. Let's just get that over with. Let's just get it done with. He'll be Trey Lance's backup. Enough. Like, let's just get it over with. Done. I'm dead serious. I'm going to continue to reiterate this. Zero pass attempts would be my goal.
What if Belichick went to the Buffalo Bills, though? I mean, how spicy would that be? I know I'm doing a whole lot of hypotheticals with a lot of in-division, in-conference rivalries, but that would be awfully spicy. If you get rid of Sean McDermott and hire Bill Belichick, just as your head coach, not your GM, do you feel differently about Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, because that's the spot you bring Josh McDaniels with you, and Josh McDaniels with Josh Allen actually makes a lot of sense. Because if you loved Brian Daboll with him, Josh McDaniels is a little bit better version of Brian Daboll calling plays. So,
agreed.
Just saying. Coming up, we know the Iron Bowl's done. The game is done. College football playoff just about to begin. We will get to that coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPNU, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen. I do want to point out behind the scenes, I was Learfield, by the way, with the call of Michigan-Ohio State. Behind the scenes, I during the last break for us, I had to sit here being serenaded by one Chris Canty to Boyz II Men, End of the Road, but the word substituted for all the Patriots remix of End of the Road.
You've never been here before, Eb. Okay. It's your first time when your franchise is in quarterback hell. It's your first time where you've been drowned in mediocrity. This is your first time. And so I felt like the song really invoke the emotions and the state of affairs of Patriots fandom.
Wonderful.
That's why I wanted to put it out there for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Just a coping mechanism. So you know, that's what good teammates do.
I really do have a question. It was a great teammate move by UCC, but I really do have a question. If Bill Belichick and the Patriots part ways, let's say this is the end of the road for him. He decides to hang up the hoodie. He's done coaching. Are you still sticking with the Pats? Or are you jumping on the Eagles bandwagon? What's going to happen front runner fandom here? I really want to know.
It's a very good question. I think here's the thing. Do I prove that I'm not a front runner by watching every game this year? Like, aren't I kind of still in on them?
No, but you're there because of Belichick.
Yeah. So the question is, do I go with Belichick if he goes somewhere else?
No, I mean, once he's done. Once he's like, I'm taking the boat and I'm cruising.
No, I think I stay with the Patriots. The only thing that would throw me for a little bit of a loop is if he ever went to the Giants. That's the only one that I'm like, that one would be tempting, I think, the concept of him going to the Giants. But I don't think that's happening. All right, anyway, so Michigan beats Ohio State, as we know, third straight time. CC and others are calling for Ryan Day to not be the coach at Ohio State anymore. I love the one that CC has thrown out there. Sherrod Moore, the Michigan interim coach, just go get him because he has proven he could win that game, unlike Ryan Day. And now we're looking at the college football playoff, and the bracket or the rankings obviously comes out tomorrow night. So by my count, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, on this. By my count, I think seven teams still have a shot to be in the Final Four. Georgia, obviously, SEC title game against Bama. Michigan, obviously, Big Ten title game against Iowa. Washington, undefeated, Pac-12 championship Friday night, ESPN Radio will have it against Oregon. I still have FSU. They're undefeated, obviously, without Jordan Travis. They have the ACC title game against Louisville. Louisville lost to Kentucky. Bad loss for them coming up on Saturday. Oregon, as I mentioned, also against Washington at a 10-1. I have Texas at 10-1. They have Oklahoma State Big 12 title game and Alabama at 11-1 against Georgia. That's kind of the seven teams. I don't have Ohio State in there. Maybe I'm wrong to potentially not have them in there. I believe the TV show's big, like the best case scenario for the TV show, which I don't think this can happen, would be Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, and Texas. That four will not happen, obviously, because Washington and Oregon play each other. But by my count, CC, I have seven teams still alive here, some more than others, obviously.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think that's the right seven, and that's probably the best teams in the country. Now, just selfishly, I know that we're talking about Alabama potentially being eliminated from being a top four team if they lose in the conference championship game to Georgia. I don't think there's any harm, or let me not say it that way. I don't think there's any shame in losing to Georgia because they are one of the two best teams in the country, and maybe they're not two. But I will say that Alabama, to me, over the second half of this season, has put together a compelling case to be a top four team in the country. Like to me, if Alabama and Washington were to hook up on a neutral site, I would think that Alabama would be favored with the way that they've been playing. So I look at the scenario, and it feels like Alabama, a team that's probably one of the four or five best teams in the country, won't really have a chance to be in the college football playoff unless they pull off a massive upset against Georgia.
So let me ask a follow-up on that, because this is an interesting place now. So if Alabama's as good as we all now know they are, theoretically, a close loss by Georgia to Alabama is not a bad loss. Do we think Georgia is in no matter what, regardless of result this weekend?
Yes. I think so.
Georgia's in no matter what.
Okay, so Georgia's in no matter what. Michigan not in no matter what, right? If Michigan loses to Iowa, we're probably not putting them in, right?
No, they're not in.
Okay. Washington, Oregon winner is in, right?
In.
Yes.
Is FSU in with a win no matter what, or we need to see what else happens?
I think we need to see the context of the win, right?
I think they're in no matter what, Smalls.
I mean, they are.
And I don't believe in Tate Rodemaker, but I think they're in no matter what. I mean, I do, because, I mean, you're talking about them losing to what, a Louisville team that would potentially be in a situation where they're another top 10 team when it comes to the college football playoff ranking. So, I mean, it's like if they lost this game, I think they would fall out of it. But I think if Florida State wins this game, they're going to be in the college football playoff no matter what, and that's going to be against a quality opponent.
So then let's play it out this way. Let's play out favorites win, right? So Georgia wins, okay. Michigan wins, Washington wins, FSU wins, Texas wins. Top four then is Georgia, Michigan, Washington, FSU, the four undefeated teams, Texas on the outside looking in, yep. Correct?
Correct? Okay. Correct.
Now let's make one adjustment. Let's say Alabama beats Georgia.
Ooh.
Okay?
So
everything else is the same. Michigan beats Iowa, Washington beats Oregon, FSU beats Louisville, Texas beats Oklahoma State. Remember, Texas beat Alabama this year.
That's what the committee may view as a quality loss, right?
Right. So Michigan is definitely in. Washington is definitely in. Per CeCe, Georgia's definitely in.
Georgia's definitely in.
And Alabama's in then in that scenario over an undefeated FSU team?
Yes.
So FSU outside looking in as an undefeated team.
Yeah.
I would want that to happen. I think Alabama's certainly deserving of a spot. If I could procure my dream playoff scenario, Alabama's in.
Yeah.
But I don't know how, if you were the committee, you can just completely disregard an undefeated Florida State team, yeah. Even though it might be a more juicy or compelling television matchup or game. I just don't know how you just take Florida State off the board.
Okay, let me ask you.
But that's a great point, Smalls, but where's the win that Florida State has that's comparable to the win that Alabama would have over Georgia?
That's the counter.
Yeah.
It would be up for a great debate.
But here's the thing, I know Michigan fans would love to have a high seed in the college football playoff, but if you have a high seed and you've got to face either Georgia or Alabama, whoever ends up in that four spot, that is the worst luck that you could possibly ask for.
So
the worst.
CeCe, let me just ask one other follow-up on that, because this will be interesting as to where you go in terms of how you look at this. Play out that exact same scenario, right? So Michigan wins and Washington wins, FSU wins, and let's say Alabama over Georgia. And then you have Alabama and Georgia as possibilities out of the SEC. But let's play out that Jordan Travis is not hurt. Is FSU in?
Yeah, I think it matters. I mean, here's the thing. It's not just about what the record is and the strength of schedule, right? The eye test matters. If it was just about those other two things, then we would have computers picking the four teams for the college football playoffs. But we actually have a committee of 24 people, and the reason why they get together in that room in Grapevine, Texas, is because they want to find the best four teams in the country. And with Jordan Travis, there is no doubt in my mind that Florida State is a better football team than with Tate Rodemaker. There's no way not to view it as such. So I guess the point is that if Jordan Travis is healthy, then I think it's more compelling to have an undefeated Florida State team in the playoff, even though their schedule is light in comparison to the other teams that get consideration.
Agreed.
But they also can't be penalized because of an injury that they have no control over, and they can only beat who is on their schedule. They do have a win over LSU. They would have a win over Louisville, two top 10 programs. I know that might not be as sexy as some of the other wins that teams in the playoff conversation would have, but if they win out, they've overcome a lot. To not have Jordan Travis there is overcoming a circumstance, which certainly makes them worthy in my eyes.
So in your mind then, FSU should be in with a win.
I don't know how you don't include them, even though I don't think it might be the best team top to bottom to put in the playoff. I just, from an argument standpoint, I don't know how you leave.
Okay,
it
so if you're going
to, but here's the thing, though. Yeah. Alabama has a win over that same LSU team. They also got a win over Ole Miss. They also got a win over Tennessee, and they would have a win over the number one team in the playoff and in the rankings in Georgia.
This is why we need an expanded playoff.
Well,
yeah, there you go, Smalls.
This is
there
why we need to
go.
Add more teams to the playoff.
Or less, because then you just have Michigan. Oh, no, well, you still have 300 feet of teams. So then go this way. All right.
That is the worst case scenario for Michigan. The worst case scenario for Michigan.
Is what, like, to have to face the SEC team as the four.
But you'd have to play them twice. Like, think about it. If Alabama wins, then Michigan and Washington will probably slide up to 1-2. And then you'll have some combination of Georgia and Alabama at 3-4. So think about it. Georgia or Alabama would play Washington, and then Alabama or Georgia would play Michigan. Like, so even if Michigan won the semifinal, they would probably have another SEC juggernaut waiting for them in the national championship game. Good luck with that.
So very quickly here, let's say Smalls is right, and let's say they have to keep FSU in, right? Undefeated FSU, undefeated Washington, undefeated Michigan. Those three are in. And let's say Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC title game. You can only take one of them. Are you taking Alabama or Georgia? Think about that. I'll get your answer coming up. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance here on ESPN Radio, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen. With you, we're going to get to our Monday Night Football preview, brought to you by Progressive Insurance in just a couple of minutes here. But I want to finish off our conversation for now. There's certainly going to be a lot more of this about college football and what happens if. So here's the what happens if scenario. All right, Michigan beats Iowa, Big Ten title game. Washington beats Oregon, Pac-12 title game. I'll game you here right here on ESPN Radio. FSU beats Louisville in the ACC title game, but Alabama upsets Georgia. We're going based on Smalls' premise, which may or may not be true, but for the sake of conversation, we're going to play this out, that all the undefeated conference championship teams will get in. Michigan, Washington, Florida State, which would leave one spot for the best conference in America, the SEC. Who do you take, Georgia or Alabama, and why, CeCe?
Ooh. I think I'd have to go with Georgia. I mean, just the way that Carson Beck has been playing lately, I feel like I trust Georgia. And having a little bit of that championship DNA matters. Having some of those same guys in that locker room that won it a year before, I just think that plays a factor into getting into that spot and knowing how to win in those types of games. So I would take Georgia.
Oh, this is so difficult because the resumes are comparable. You could make such a sound argument for either one. I really want Alabama in there because the way that this team has grown, especially the play of Jalen Milroe, I think that they would be such a dangerous team in the playoff. But I think a loss to Alabama is a stronger argument than the loss to Texas. So I'd have to put Georgia in.
I would go Alabama because I think they're going to have some recency bias there in terms of winning the SEC title game. But Smalls, even hearing the arguments and the pain, all three of us in trying to pick, does it make you think that they should keep FSU out in this scenario? Because, again, you're keeping one of those two SEC teams and either Nick Saban or Kirby Smart out.
Well, the cleanest way is for Louisville to upset Florida State. That'd be the cleanest way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what the committee is rooting for in the ACC championship game. Louisville, go ahead and let us off the hook. Beat Florida State with Tate Rodemaker, and that way we don't have to worry about leaving an undefeated Florida State team, a school in a Power 5 conference that won their conference championship game, out of the mix when it comes to the Final Four in college football competing for a championship.
I was just going to ask you, what happens if everybody loses, though? Now, if we go the other way for a second.
Oh, gosh. Oh my God.
Here we go.
Headache.
Okay. Here we go. The doomsday scenario by Evan Cohen. Here we go, y'all.
Wait, CeCe, I need help. Is the doomsday scenario Georgia winning or Alabama winning? Because I almost feel like it's Georgia winning, but I guess we could play out Alabama
winning. It's Alabama winning.
Okay, it's Alabama winning?
It's yeah, because
the doomsday scenario is Alabama winning, because then that means Alabama's in and Georgia's in. So now you have two spots for the remaining five.
Yeah, so well, that means Oregon's in too in the doomsday. So that means Georgia's 11-1, Michigan loses to Iowa 11-1, Washington 11-1, they'd be out, that's easy. FSU 11-1 with the loss to Louisville. Oregon coming off a win against Washington, avenging their only loss 11-1, they're definitely in. Texas would be out in that scenario because they'd be 10-2, and Alabama would be in. So we'd have Alabama, Georgia, and Oregon for sure. And who would the fourth team be? Probably Michigan?
Probably Michigan.
Yeah, I'd probably say Michigan.
What if you could just have all the control, what's your dream for?
Yeah, it's the same. It's what I just said. It's Alabama, Georgia. No, it's Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, and Texas would be the four. Because I'm just thinking about the biggest brands for the TV show and the players and the brands and everything like that. So that's what I would do. CeCe? No logic and reason, but you have to use the seven teams.
I don't know, man. With the up and down quarterback play that Texas is getting, I would say that I would go with Washington. I think if we're talking about the best four teams, I would say it would be Washington if they win the Pac-12 championship game, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia.
Washington, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia.
That's same four.
Okay. So we just trade out Washington or Texas between the three of us there.
Yeah.
All right. Time now for the Monday Night Football preview brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit progressive.com. And, of course, tonight we have the Bears and the Vikings coming off of a week for us, by the way, that has us, 3-1 in our picks against the other ESPN radio
Hello.
Shows.
Okay.
We're only two games back of Carlin versus Joe right now. Which
so
is
are
awesome.
We in second place now?
We are tied for second with Freddie and Harry. So we are tied for second. We're 22-13-2 on the year.
But we leapfrogged somebody else, though, didn't we?
We leapfrogged game
night. Game night with Q?
Yeah. And remember, they always pick games after they happen. So when you're on at that time, it's like, okay, I'm going to pick the Bears and the Vikings after the Bears and the Vikings is over. I mean, that's not that hard of a pick. Come on, Q. Just saying. All right. So, CeCe, I know as part of your ESPN bet, Canny's best bet, you have some thoughts for tonight, so we'll give you the floor on that.
Oh, yeah, so it's spicy. So I just did a little bit of research during the break, and I realized that 12 of the 13 Monday night matchups went under on the point total. So 12 of the 13 Monday night matchups hit the under on point total. So how could we not get involved with that when it comes to the Bears-Vikings, right? We have to do that. So I'm taking Minnesota. We're laying the three. We're going under 44.5 total points scored in the game, and we're going to go with the player prop, Josh Dobbs, over 35.5 yards rushing. Now, why would I do that? Well, Josh Dobbs, in two of the three starts that he's had with the Minnesota Vikings, has gone over that number. So we're going to go with Josh Dobbs over 35.5 yards rushing, the Minnesota Vikings to win by to cover the number, to cover the spread by three, and then the under on the point total, that's 44.5. And that pays out on a three-leg parlay at +574. So it's a little bit of juice to make the Monday Night Football game just a little more interesting, with one of the teams being competitive and the other one not so much. This should make it a little fun for everybody to tune in, put a little coin on it on ESPN Bet.
And let me do some show planning on the air, if I could. So I am going to suggest that Nuno and Pat and everybody go back to our show on October 7th, as a result of what CeCe just said is going to happen tonight. Now, what happened on October 7th? Well, nothing happened on October 7th. This is what happened on October 6th. And on October 6th, it was the night where the Chicago Bears beat the Washington Commanders 40-20. And after that game, we come in on October 7th, and one Chris Canty said in a powerful, with his chest voice, as we say on this show, "That's it. I've seen enough." We said, "We've seen enough of what, CeCe?" "I've seen enough of Justin Fields." "What do you mean?" 15-29, 282, and 4 touchdowns. "Yeah, exactly. Trade him now. His value will never be higher."
Yeah.
If CeCe's bet is correct tonight, we need to go back to that day, get the audio, because if they keep losing and his value is diminished, we will look back at that October 6th game and that October 7th show as a turning point for where the Bears went wrong this season. So, Nuno, Pat, do your job. As,
but, I mean, here's the thing. Right okay, now, as it sits today, the Bears have the first and the fourth pick in the NFL draft. Is there any chance that they would pass on yet another crop of quarterbacks to stay with Justin Fields?
They can't.
No.
There's no shot. There's no shot. There's nothing that Justin Fields can show you that could justify the opportunity cost. Think about it. You could have had C.J. Stroud. You had the number one pick, and you traded it to the Carolina Panthers. You could have had C.J. Stroud. You decided, nope, we're going to give Justin Fields another shot. I think everybody was on board with that. One more chance, one more season to see what happens. And we got him a legitimate number one receiver. Well, not much has really changed. You have moments of brilliance, and in between that, not a lot else to hold on to in the way of positive evidence that would support staying with him. So I don't think you pass on Caleb Williams or Drake May for what Justin Fields could be. The opportunity cost would just be too great.
So basically what we're saying is go get the real quarterback, not a fake quarterback is what we're saying. They need to go get their real long-term quarterback because Justin Fields could be somebody else's real long-term quarterback, but he's not their real long-term quarterback.
And Minnesota, for the love of God, Minnesota, I know you want to be Minnesota nice all the time. I know you don't want to treat – Your division rival, little brother Chicago Bears, in a ragtag way, but take care of your business tonight. Like you should be firmly entrenched as a wild card and not barely holding on as a wild card. Make sure you go out there and get a win against a team that's really not trying to win. Please, Minnesota, for the love of God.
Coming up, we have many nominees for Unsportsmanlike Moment of the Day. These are some of the best I think we've ever had. We will get to that coming up, but it is time for an incredibly important message this holiday season. You want to help save the American Christmas tree farmer? Of course you do, right? You don't want to hurt farmers. You also don't want to hurt the environment. So guess what happens? If you buy a fake Christmas tree, two things happen. The American Christmas tree farmer has less to do. They have less trees to plant. That means there are less jobs available. And if you keep buying the fake ones, it is worse for the environment, not better for the environment. It is worse. Get real and keep it real this holiday season by buying real Christmas trees. For every 10 Christmas trees planted, an acre of land is saved. And that means more jobs from the American farmer, and they are safer for the environment. And they cost less than a third of the price of those fake Christmas trees out there. So let's see. Save money, save farmers, save the environment. Why would you say no to that? Buy real Christmas trees at Lowe's or wherever Christmas trees are sold and get more information online plus participate in cool contests at GetRealKeepItReal.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Chris Canty, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. Normally at this time, we like to laugh, talk about absolute stupidity, nonsense. We love it all, right? Well, we have breaking news. Tom Pelissero, NFL Network, has reported that the Carolina Panthers have fired head coach Frank Reich. Their special teams coordinator, Chris Tabor, is taking over as the interim coach. Jim Caldwell, former Colts coach, moves to special advisor, working alongside the offense. So Frank Reich, in his first season coaching the Carolina Panthers, reminder, they fired their head coach, Matt Rhule, last year, obviously, and now they do it again this year. They have been awful so far to start the season. They are 1-10. They do not have their draft pick. That That goes to the aforementioned Chicago Bears, which will be number one overall. Bryce Young, 9 touchdowns total as a passer this season. And Carolina, 11 games in, fires their head coach in his first season. This is the second year in a row in the NFL that we have a first-year coach fired in season before the season ends. Nathaniel Hackett with the Broncos was that coach a year ago. Guys, initial reaction to this breaking news here.
Well, it's ugly for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, the whole Bryce Young situation, now you're adding another layer of dysfunction around him while he's continuing to try to develop and live up to being the number one overall pick. And think about all that the franchise gave away in order to acquire him. So there's that. But then also, think about this. In the same cycle where they hired Frank Reich, we saw two other rookie head coaches go to places around the National Football League with rookie quarterbacks and have those teams in playoff contention, that being the Indianapolis Colts and the Houston Texans. So, I mean, like, it's just, all right, maybe it's on the board that you potentially missed on your quarterback, but it's becoming clear and obvious now that you missed on your head coach when there were head coaches that were there to be had that have shown that they can work with a team that's trying to build around a young signal caller. So it is as bad as you could imagine in Carolina. And there's not a whole lot of opportunity that they have for improvement because, again, they don't own their own first-round draft pick. It belongs to the Chicago Bears.
What a mess. What a mess. But, unfortunately, we felt like this was coming. We knew Frank Reich's seat was incredibly hot. And when the owner is leaving the locker room and he's screaming the F word, you kind of have a feeling that the shoe's going to drop. And I'm not surprised to hear this at all. But if David Tepper was, in fact, the one who wanted Bryce Young, he's not going to blame himself. He's not going to fire himself. So whether or not Frank Reich deserved more of a runway, he wasn't going to get it. Because when Bryce Young isn't living up to the billing that you expected, and the guy you passed on in C.J. Stroud looks like he does, like someone that's going to be transformational for the Houston Texans, the bill comes due for that.
October 9th was when Frank Reich made the comments about the owner of the Carolina Panthers, David Tepper, about basically some owners operate with different philosophies. At that moment, we came in that next day and we said he just put himself on the hot seat. That everything you've heard about Tepper is that he does not have patience. He may not be the perfect owner of an NFL team. And clearly, based on the last 2 years, he fires Matt Rhule 5 games into the season last year, fires Frank Reich 11 games into the season this year. This is back-to-back years that you have head coaches fired in season by the same team, which I don't know that has ever happened before. Now that I think about that, we'll have to look
that never
up.
So he's never met a coach that he didn't want to fire. Got it.
Basically, yes. Yes, you are correct about that. But we knew, CeCe, that press conference was that moment. Sometimes you see that. We have discussed, and we're not speculating necessarily that Robert Saleh of the Jets is going to get fired, but we said after he did the interview with Michael Kay, 98.7 ESPN New York, you can hear us on 10:50 a.m. in New York, that when he said to Michael Kay, I plead the fifth, we said in that moment, if this man gets fired, that's the moment where everything changes.
Yeah.
And we said it about Reich. We knew it. Even in year one, we said, you can't throw the owner of the team, under the bus at a press conference.
Yeah. Well, I think Frank Reich is letting everybody in NFL circles know that he wasn't the one responsible for making the call on Bryce Young. And that shouldn't be held against him moving forward for future employment opportunities. Maybe that he saw the writing on the wall and knew that he wasn't long in Carolina and just wanted it to be out there in the ether that it wasn't his call to take Bryce Young. That was an ownership decision. Now, when we look at the Carolina Panthers, who the hell are you going to get back on track? So there's that aspect of this story. But then also, now that we've got another coach being fired, who's the next one to fall? I mean,
I would think
it's Brandon Staley. Yeah, I would think it has to be Brandon Staley.
Yeah.
I would think it has to be him.
Which is amazing, CC, that like, oh my God, if they lose to the Patriots. The Patriots are now that team that you can't lose to, which is just remarkable how things have changed. Let me update this. Adam Schefter has just put out a tweet with a statement from David Tepper. He's the owner of the Carolina Panthers. If you're just tuning in, they did fire Frank Reich moments ago. Here's the statement. I met with Coach Reich this morning and informed him that he will not continue as head coach of the Carolina Panthers. I want to thank Frank for his dedication and service. And we wish him well. Effective immediately, special teams coordinator Chris Tabor will take over and serve as our interim coach. Senior assistant Jim Caldwell will be a special advisor to the offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, who will take over play calling duties David Tepper, and then he puts the Panthers logo underneath that. So there's the official statement. No longer a report. Now it's a confirmation. Frank Reich fired in season. This is our second head coaching firing of the NFL season to date. Josh McDaniels with the Raiders. The first one, I think CeCe's right. Smalls, if I had to guess, Brandon Staley would be the next. Let me preface all this by reckless speculation. Sometimes the teams that you say, oh, they never do it that way, at some point do it that way.
The Bears?
Bears. Matt Eberflus.
I don't know. I don't see them changing the way that they've done things, because if that was the case, then why wouldn't they have made that decision already? Yeah, I think they'll wait till the end of the season, because that's inherently Chicago Bears. I think you're right, though. Brandon Staley's most likely the next one. We're going to wait for that shoe to drop, but guys, one thing I can't understand is, if you're an owner, why you don't let football people that you think are smart enough and capable enough to employ do their jobs. When we see owners get really involved in the decision-making of football teams or in teams in general, it doesn't usually work out well. We talk all the time about Jerry Jones being an impediment to the Cowboys being able to break through in so many ways. A completely different scenario, but Daniel Snyder would always get involved. Now we're hearing reports that David Tepper may be an owner that has his hands in things a lot. If you buy something, I understand you want to tinker with it. But if you also think that people are smart enough and capable enough at their jobs for you to employ them in this position, maybe let them do it.
Also, let me point out one other thing here. As just I'm seeing different notes come across and just thinking about different things. Frank Reich was also fired in season last year.
Yeah.
By the Colts.
That's true.
Yeah.
And we look at him differently than McDaniels, because he's not, even though he was a player and a backup for Jim Kelly and was in Buffalo forever and obviously did a heck of a job as the offensive coordinator with the Eagles when they won a Super Bowl under Doug Peterson, we don't look at him the same way as Josh McDaniels, where we don't have this vitriol for him like people do because of the Patriots with Josh McDaniels. Frank Reich is not a guy that can get another head coaching job in this league. Not on purpose. Not when you're fired in season 2 years in a row. I'm just saying, let's apply the same heat here that we did towards McDaniels towards Reich. But again, if you're just tuning in, the breaking news on this NFL Monday, Frank Reich fired head coach Carolina Panthers after only 11 games with the team. Obviously, all of our coverage of this will continue here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Greeny is coming up next, and I'll be in there with Hembo. We are on to Tuesday. We are Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.